There is nothing, put on the other speaker. Sorry, there's nothing quite as uplifting as coming into the house of the Lord when there's good singing, offering praise, honor, and glory unto God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just an update that I had just a couple of moments ago. Gary Torrance has been transferred from the Campbellford Hospital to Kingston. And so he's there undergoing quite a number of tests. So if we continue to uphold Gary in prayer. There's a statement I'd like to begin with this morning that I believe it's important for all believers in Jesus Christ to know and to absorb. So if we could show that slide, please. Something we need to remember. These are very important words. Remember, the Bible, either the Bible shapes how we view the world, or the world shapes how we view the Bible. So these are very important words to keep in mind. We know that the world has dominance today. The way of the world has dominance. There's all kinds of things that are supposedly politically correct, which are not biblically correct at all. And you and I as Christians, we face a challenge. Are we going to allow the world to influence us as to what the Word of God is? Or are we going to allow the Bible, the Word of God, to influence us in terms of life and what's going on in the world? As you know, we've been looking at the book of Revelation over the past number of months, and it is giving to you and to me the biblical view of things that are going to occur and are going to happen. So you and I each need to ask ourselves a question. Am I allowing the world to influence me in terms of how I look at the Word of God? Or am I allowing the Word of God to influence me in terms of how I look at the world? Now, you know, all who are present today know that we stand on the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God as being the foundation of all that we do in Christ Jesus, of course. And we believe in the Old and the New Testament. We believe in all 66 books of the Bible, the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament. They form the Word of God for us, totaling 66 books. And from the Word of God, we receive our instruction, not only when we preach on a Sunday morning and when we teach, but also in our daily life. So as Pastor Nate reminded us a week ago, we have an election coming up. Whether we want the election or like the election doesn't make any difference. The fact is, an election is coming. And when the election is coming, of course, you know perhaps that as a pastor or as congregations, we cannot choose any particular candidate or choose any particular party to promote. But what we can ask ourselves is, what are the issues? And what are the issues that our government stands for? And for the person for whom we are going to elect, or that we are going to elect, where does that person stand? Do they have the worldview of the Bible, or the biblical view of what's going on in the world? For example, I wonder if the person for whom you vote, whether that person is pro-life or pro-choice. Now, we know that as Christians, as believers, we believe in pro-life. What about the support of marriage between a man and a woman, or between same-sex partners? Now, we are reminded in the Word of God that God created us Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve. And we were told to go out and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. That only happens with male and female. God made us that way. Also, the people for whom we vote, do they support the sanctity of the human family? Father, mother, children. What about supporting the fact that at conception, each person is determined whether they are male or female? Now, these are topical issues. They are important issues. To be politically correct is one thing. I'm not concerned about being politically correct. I am concerned about being biblically correct. So you and I need to always keep this in mind. We are faced with a dilemma. And the dilemma is, does any individual stand for the biblical principles? We need to vote for someone who is at least closest to that, if not one who completely understands and promotes biblical principles. Maybe someday the Lord will allow this country, should his return be slower than what we think it will be, maybe he'll allow somewhere along the line for us to have a political party that stands on biblical standards. That would be a praise God item. Now, in terms of our study in the book of Revelation, you and I know that we are indeed blessed people because we are going to be part of a holy city. That holy city exists, not on earth, but in glory. And at some point in the future, that holy city is going to come down and perhaps hover or hover over this earth. We will experience this holy city when old becomes new, a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Not the Jerusalem that is on earth at the moment, although it's important in God's prophetic timeline, but we have these three, new heaven, new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Also, the holy city and its inhabitants will all be referred to as the bride of Christ. We will be the wife of the Lamb. And we are going to experience this in all our glory, all of its glory, which is almost beyond description. Now, it's important for you and me to realize that the most important part of this holy city is that it's going to be filled with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a hymn, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. You and I, in that holy city, we are going to see our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face. Oh, what a day of glory that is going to be. The rest of the world, unbelievers, are going to see him as their judge, but you and I are going to see him and behold him as our Savior. We read these words, Paul's words, led by the Holy Spirit. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. The mirrors of the New Testament time did not give you a clear vision. The mirrors of today give us a much clearer vision of ourselves. But when Paul was writing, he said, we just see it's a little bit hazy. We don't quite see it all. But then there's a time coming when we will see him face to face. Oh, what glory that will be. We also read in, pardon me, 1 John, but we shall know that when he, that is Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. This tells us that this indicates toward us, and perhaps it's absolute fact, that we will be like him in glory. We will have a body like Jesus in glory, a body that is made to last for all of eternity. Like Jesus, and you and I will be able to do many of the things that Jesus himself has done and is doing. This is another praise God item, all for believers everywhere. And then we read, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Can you imagine being in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all eternity? And all believers of the past ages will be there as well. What a grand day of rejoicing and reunion that is going to be. As you and I have been looking at the book of Revelation, every now and then I try to put myself in the sandals of John, the writer, John, the beloved apostle, trying to put myself back into the first century, and then trying to picture myself, like John, being transported from the first century into many centuries later, perhaps even into the 21st century. And to think of all the scenarios that he saw before him, to think of all that he experienced, to think of the glory of some of the experiences and the absolute horror of some of the other experiences that he witnessed while God advanced him, took him ahead to see the future, not only of things going on in heaven, but things that were going on here on earth. Throughout the book of Revelation, we discover that angels have been called upon by God himself to deliver a message to John so that John would understand what was going to take place. And we find this also true in this morning's reading in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. Let us hear the word of God. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them the light. And they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true." The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angels to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And then the words of our Lord Jesus, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One prophecy author that's been very popular in the past number of years, Hal Lindsey, he said these words, "These final scenes of John's divine revelation deposits our feet firmly on the shores of eternity." On the shores of eternity, we are going through the sea of living our life down through the years, and finally we arrive at the shores of eternity, all because of Jesus. God has finally, by this time, dealt with all the rebellion of the angels that took place eons ago. And he's dealt with the rebellion of humankind. And now he's established himself very clearly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will be a part of this divine kingdom. All of his creation has been changed. I marvel at his creation that we experience even today. And then when we get to glory, we are going to see even greater things in terms of his creation. Before God deposits John back from his heavenly experience onto the lonely Isle of Patmos, and while the magnificent heavenly revelations are still consuming John's mind, the angel and Jesus remind us of the shortness of time. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon. I am coming soon." Now, Jesus said this at least 2,000 years ago, and his coming soon and our coming soon don't seem to quite match. I think John thought that our Savior's coming soon was going to happen within the next few months or the next few years, but it hasn't happened for over 2,000 years. But here we are today, and I believe that today we are living in that age when Jesus could return at any moment. And as believers in Jesus Christ who have a biblical worldview, not a worldly view, but a biblical worldview, we are to look forward to that time when the trumpet is going to sound and when we are going to be with him. It means that while we need to plan ahead as though he's not coming for 100 years, we need to live our life as though he's coming this very day. We need to look forward with great anticipation that he is coming. I believe that we are finally in that age when the coming soon is going to be realized. You and I need to be ready. I believe that we are living in what the scripture often refers to as the last days, the last times. We are looking forward. We are in them, I believe, and we need to keep our eyes peeled toward Jesus. The word of God in chapter 22 of Revelation presents our Savior's final words. And because they are his final words, you and I need to take a very special note of them. These words bring us to the end of man's journey on earth. We look back over the existence of humans down through the years since Adam and Eve to where we are today. This human race, we have faced many challenges. There have been many problems that have not yet been resolved. And yet there's a day coming when they will all be resolved. We will see it from God's perspective when we don't particularly see it from his perspective now. You and I know that the very opening verses of the Old Testament, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what many people don't know is that Jesus was intimately involved in the creation of this earth. And now here we are, Jesus' final words, and we are at the end of the age, and Jesus is still very intimately involved in all that's going on. The Word of God concludes with Jesus on the scene and in full control. Now, whenever we name Jesus or speak his name, there are certain images that come to our mind. What are those images? What are the things that we need to be reminded of, particularly as we gather around the communion table a little later this morning? We remember that Jesus suffered for you and for me. He paid the price that you and I could not possibly pay. He died. Don't listen to people who say he only pretended to die. The fact is, he died. There's no question about it. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again, and he is alive forevermore. You and I do not serve a dead Jesus Christ. We serve a living Lord, a living Savior. He's alive forevermore. He rose again. Praise be to God. And when we gather on the communion table, we are going to remember who Jesus is and what he's done. Not only what he's done for the world, but what he's done for you and what he's done for me. Now, in our scripture passage this morning, we read a number of words. For instance, these words give us images. What are these images? The river of the water of life. The tree of life. This is in glory. Remember that now. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The throne of God. Here's something that we may have missed. His name will be on our foreheads. There'll be no more night. The Lord gives light. He will reign forever. Jesus is coming soon. Are we living our lives as though Jesus is coming soon? This morning, I'd like us to look at three C words, three words that begin with the letter C. Creation, curse, coming. Creation, old and new. Curse, here and gone. Coming, soon and very soon. Creation, old and new. We are well aware of God's creation in the very beginning of time on earth. In fact, as we look at God's creation throughout the earth, I absolutely marvel. I haven't done a lot of traveling, but Linda and I had the privilege of going to a number of places. We were in Israel on one occasion and in Turkey, and I was in Africa. And what amazed me is I'm amazed at God's creation where we are here on this planet, in this country. Absolutely amazed at God's creation. And then I go to other places and we look at the flora and we look at the animal life and we look at everything else that's going on. Absolutely amazed at God's creation. Some of us may look on the channel that gives us all of these travel dialogues. You may have seen some of the various birds and the other animals that exist. Absolutely amazing. This is God's creative power at work. Now listen to these verses. Verses in Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city, the holy city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Look at this. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nations meaning people. This is the holy city. We have witnessed verbally some of the description of the holy city. And John, through the best words that he knew, he looked at the holy city. He saw that the gates were of pearl. He described the foundations and other places of the holy city with jewels of all kinds of nature, one and the other. And then I've often wondered in this scene, because it doesn't say so in the Word, but will there be any soft grass to enjoy? Will there be other green trees to capture our eyes? Will there be cool, refreshing water to drink? What kind of food will there be there for us to eat? Will we be eating the food of angels? Do angels eat food? Lots of questions that I have in my mind. But we do get some divine light on this. All good questions. When we go back to the very creation of the world, we're familiar with the Garden of Eden. What do we discover about this wonderful garden? There was a river in Eden, which branched out into four rivers. There were trees in the garden. The trees provided food. One such tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the other tree was the tree of life. Now, personally, I can't imagine the New Jerusalem without the benefit of God's creativeness in grass and trees and flowers and water and birds and animals and so on. But what do we learn? There will be a river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. There will be the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. There will be leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations of the people. Now, in the midst of all these jewel descriptions, we see there is a clear crystal river flowing from the very throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. Along its banks will be trees, one of which is the tree of life. Praise be to God. Clearly, God's initial creation will be even further enhanced when we get to glory. The old, what we are experiencing now, will be new when we get to glory and be in this heavenly, holy city. Creation, old, that's what we're experiencing now, and new, that's what we are going to experience. Curse, present now, here, and gone. In verse 3 of chapter 22, we read, no longer will there be any curse. No longer any curse. Now, we all know that the first creation, Adam and Eve, that it was blighted by the curse of sin, all because of Satan's convincing manner of convincing Eve that she should do what the Lord told her not to do. She chose to follow Satan instead of following the Lord. And sin entered the world, both through Eve and Adam. And then we have been cursed with this sin ever since. And this sin has been going on all the way down through the ages. But in the holy city, there will be no more curse. Praise be to God. When we think about being in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where there will be absolutely no sin of any kind. No sin on television, if there is a television. No sin on radio, if there is a radio. No sin as we walk by certain stores. No sin. We won't be in the presence of sin whatsoever. There'll be nothing sinful that will influence you or me, because we will be in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and sin cannot and will not and does not exist in their presence. No sin of any kind. That's another praise God item. Now, you and I, if we're absolutely truthful with ourselves and honest, we know that there are things that can influence us to do sinful things. That's because of the curse that's here on this earth. There will be no more curse. Sometimes I think that must mean there'll be no thorns, no weeds, no black flies, no mosquitoes. I was out walking on our front lawn the other day, and as I was just walking along the lawn, these little black bugs were stirred up. And I don't know why, but they head for my ear. They go right into my ear or up my nose. I find them really aggravating. One almost loses their sanctification when these bugs bother you to the way they're there. No more curse. In the holy city, I don't think there'll be a mosquito or a black fly. I hope the Lord expels them to some other part of the universe. But I don't believe they'll be where we are. Now, we read about the tree of life. Remember that when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, after they sinned, they were chased out of the Garden of Eden. They were away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and away from the tree of life. Now, some might say, why would God do that? Well, the answer is simple. The fact that they were now sinners, now they were controlled more by sin than they were by the Lord. Now that animals had to die in order to provide them clothing of skin, this curse was upon them at that point. And by banishing them from the Garden of Eden, they no longer had access to the tree of life. They could not eat of its leaves for healing of themselves or anyone else. It was a praise God item because they couldn't live continuously in their sin. The scripture makes it clear their time came when they physically died. In fact, we're going to take a look at these verses that we find in Genesis chapter 3, verses 21 to 24. Again, let us hear the word of God. The Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And incidentally, we do not want to pass over that too quickly because animals had to die. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So even with Adam and Eve, there was a death that took place in their place. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the garden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. The Lord did not want Adam and Eve to participate in the tree of life. Creation, old and new. Curse, here and gone. And finally, coming soon and very soon. Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. And remember, when he comes soon to take us to be with him, to live in that holy city forever and ever, there will be no night there. I don't quite understand it, but there will be no light because Jesus is providing for us all the light that is needed. Do I understand how this works? No, but I'm looking forward to it. And then you'll notice it says that we will reign forever and ever. Reign over what? I'm not sure what we'll be reigning over, but I simply suspect we'll be reigning over the new earth and perhaps part of the cosmos, whatever that is and whatever's going on. Don't understand it all, don't know it all, but the scripture says we will be reigning. In fact, in another part of scripture, it says that we will be ruling even over angels themselves. Can you believe that? And let me go on a slight tangent. I do this every now and then because I'm amazed at Christians who believe that when we die, we become angels. We do not become angels. Angels were created by God. They are there forever and forever and forever. The angels are there. When we die, we go to be with the Lord, but we don't become angels. We are above the angels. Hard to believe, I know, but this is true. And yet, over and over, I hear people who say, this one has gone on, and now she's an angel with the Lord. No, she's not. He's not. We are not angels. We are even superior to angels, all because of God's design. And then we read these words. These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. What will soon take place? How soon is soon? Do you suppose soon is today? Do you suppose it's tomorrow? But one of these days, a trumpet is going to sound, and every believer is going to hear that trumpet, and we are going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Now, in verse 7, Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. John kept these words. He was blessed. He recorded these words. The early church kept these words. The early church has been blessed. We are keeping these words. We are blessed when we keep the words of the prophecy of this book. Now hear these words. You've heard them before. They're in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. God's timing is different to your timing and mine. But as I look at world conditions today, when I listen to when we get to glory, we are going to have the name of Jesus on our forehead. And I think about what's going to happen during the tribulation period, when most of the whole world will be bowing down to the Antichrist, and they will be forced to place the mark of the beast on their forehead or on their arm. Now, they're going to be forced to do it. And 2 years ago, we might have asked the question, how on earth is it going to be that people will be forced to do this? They'll be forced to do it when you pay allegiance to the Antichrist. That's when you're forced to do it. But as I look back over the last 18 to 19 months of COVID, look how this world has been directed to take the vaccine, for example. Look how this world has been directed to do certain things. It just reminded me of the fact that it won't take very long. This is in 18 months. It won't take very long for the Antichrist to convince the people of the world, except for those who finally put their trust in Jesus, but the real church is gone by this time. However, how fast it will be before the Antichrist will convince people to take his mark and swear allegiance to him. If it can happen with COVID in 18 or 19 months, it can happen very, very quickly during the tribulation. Now, the question that I have for all of us is this. The time is near. Are you ready? Are we ready to meet the Savior? If that trumpet sounds, will you hear it? The way in which you know you will is to ensure that you have placed and are placing your trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. You recognize that he died in your place for you. He rose again for you. He conquered hell, death, and the grave for you. He did it for himself. He did it for us. Praise be to God. If you've placed all your trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, you will hear that trumpet. You will live in that holy city. Praise be to God. I look over this congregation this morning, and as I look over, I pray to God that I'll see every one of you on that trip up to glory or in the holy city. And I pray to God that we'll see all of those who have put their trust in Jesus in days, weeks, months, years, ages gone past. What a day of reunion and rejoicing that will be. Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you for the insight that you've given to us. You are allowing us to see what's going to happen in the future even more clearly than in an unclear mirror. We see what's happening because of the words of Scripture, of your words. We praise you, we thank you. And my prayer is that you will so fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit this moment that we will be determined to live for you forever and ever. Amen.